Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hey, I'm Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. If it's your first time listening, hey, welcome to the show. We would love to connect with you. Our email is hannahsheart@afa.net. And we are a show for couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage and maybe child loss. And we just want to come alongside of you and encourage you to cling to Christ. I have been through your journey. It is heartbreaking. And I might not have the same heartaches that you've had, but I've had my own. And I know that God is sufficient. I'm normally joined by my amazing co-host, Ann Cockrell, who is out today. But today I do have in studio the distinguished Dave White, my father, who is a mental health therapist of many years. And we are continuing a discussion from last week. So feel free to go back and check out our podcast page. You can follow us on Facebook or YouTube if you want to see the part one to this. But we are discussing what it means to adopt older children or to foster older children. Now, we've talked on this show before that if you're struggling specifically with infertility or child loss, adoption isn't just a Band-Aid for that hurt, but it is something that often God ends up answering that desire and that ache in your heart by calling many families to consider that. And He uses that to bless us in so many ways. Now, I know the minute you go to do foster care, there's that form that says, you know, what age child would you consider? And a lot of people really have to pray through that because, you know, you're used to in your mind having that little baby that you can train up from the very beginning and you're building a person. And yet there are so many children waiting for homes. If you go on any of the websites, it's heartbreaking to just see the faces that have no family and they have all manner of baggage. So today we are going to break down, if you feel called to do that, maybe some tips and helpful suggestions for you. So welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Kendra. Well, just real quickly, what I'm talking about in adopting older children mm-hmm. are children that are past those formative years mm-hmm. of development, generally from 0 to age 8. That's the years where you are growing the fastest as mm-hmm. far as physically, socially, mentally. Mm-hmm. Also, those children have a lot of issues from their past. Mm-hmm. The children that I'm talking about today are the kids that have been removed by their respective states due to gross neglect, mm-hmm. abuse, whether it be physical, sexual, mental abuse, mm-hmm. and now they're open for adoption.
And you have personal experience. As we mentioned last episode, I have 3 brothers that were adopted at older ages. Of course, I was a baby. I wasn't older. They've just always been around to, let me fling mud at them.
And they were. Our first 2 boys were actually adopted at 8 and 9, and our third son was 7. He is not related biologically mm-hmm. to the first 2. And so, yes, we have experienced that. And all of those are now men. They're now 49, 50, and 46, I mm-hmm. think. Always have to get the ages, and the middle ones are always the hardest to remember. So they're by no means children anymore. But they are still extremely part of our lives.
I had many pony rides and lots of friends to go.
Well, they're just as much part of our lives mm-hmm. as our biological children, Kendra and her brother Jeremy. Certainly. So what I'm talking about today are some issues that both foster parents and adoptive parents can deal with or will be faced to deal with when you're having an older mm-hmm. adoptive child in your home. there's the National Council for Adoption, which I don't necessarily give kudos to in any way at all, shape, or form. I don't know that much about them. But they have something called the 12 Commandments for Parenting Older Adoptive Child. So some of what I'm taking today comes from those, and certainly I would agree with them and think there are some excellent points. First thing is that abandonment or giving children back to the state should never, ever be threatened when you are upset or angry at the children. And I know that sounds like, well, nobody would do that. Well, unfortunately, yes, they would. Mm-hmm. And it's more common than you think. When you're feeling overwhelmed with some of the behavioral problems mm-hmm. that these kids have, it's very easy to blurt something out, whether you mean it or not. Mm-hmm. And all that really does is further traumatize the mm-hmm. child. And so they're going to say, well, if you feel that way, I might as well stop it before you can do it. Mm. And so that they're only going to feed into that more and more. I have a story that I like to tell about a young boy. This was before my wife and I were married. I was working at a children's institution in my state of Kentucky, and had a little boy that I was working with. He was, I believe, 6 at the time, and he was a cute little kid, blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid, but he had an anger problem like you would not believe. Mm-hmm. He had just got into literally a fist fight with another young boy at the pool that was on the campus of the child care institution. And I was called over, and he probably weighs 70, 80 pounds wet, and he was wet. And I picked him up, brought him into the house, sat him on my lap in a rocker, and he's squirming, fighting me, cussing like you wouldn't believe. And so I just sat there and rocked with him for probably 20 or 30 minutes, calming him down, and all I did was just sing to him. Mm. And it's got to be a God thing because my voice isn't that great. but it calmed him down. And after about 30 minutes or so, instead of just cussing and fighting me, he started crying. Mm. And he cried and cried. Tears were streaming down his little face. And what came out was the hurt that he had that his biological parents hadn't fought hard enough to keep him. Mm. Why hadn't they done the things they should have done to be able to keep me in their homes? Mm. Why didn't they complete the plan that social services had for them to get me returned to their home? And now he's dealing with not being able to see his biological brothers and sisters and having no contact with his biological parents. So that is, unfortunately, a very common thing that these kids have.
It seems like maybe some of the behavioral problems that might come up might be these older children trying to test to see, do you really want me?
Absolutely.
Are you going to send me back if I do this?
Absolutely, absolutely. And because that has happened, mm-hmm. because there are a lot of failed adoptions out there mm-hmm. where adoptive parents attempt to adopt an older child, try maybe their hardest. I'm by no means putting any statements there one way or the other, but for whatever reason, they call the state back and say, I can't do this, mm-hmm. And it's called a failed adoption.
Well, and foster and adoptive parents dealing with that anger, like, I get it. I have a 2-year-old daughter who is biological and doesn't have a lot of the baggage, that we're talking about today, but she knows how to push my buttons. And I find myself, getting so hot and flustered at time, and we don't have the emotional fuel that some of these children are having. And so I think being able to say in your mind, I am never going to use this as a threat. I am never going to let that come out of my mouth. It's kind of like my husband and I, when we got married, we said, no matter how much we argue or fight, we're never going to use the D word, divorce, because that's not something we want in our vocabulary as a marriage. It's not something we're even going to just joke about. So we're just going to remove that from our language.
Yeah. Now, that certainly doesn't mean that kids can't and don't need more extensive help mm-hmm. sometimes than you can provide.
Sure. But you don't use it as a threat.
But you don't use it as a threat. There was a time with one of our boys where his behavior became so disruptive and became so angry and so potentially, well, it did become violent in our home that he had to go to a child psychiatric mm-hmm. hospital for a while to give us the time to cool down and to, for him to learn some
and to get his medications leveled out.
Medications leveled out, exactly. I remember the social worker who helped us with that at the point. He was such a wise man. He said, you were trying to do the job of a treatment home, but you didn't have enough staff. Mm-hmm. And I realized, you know, you're right about that. Mm-hmm. Now, we have a very close relationship with that young man right now. Mm-hmm. Saw him just a couple weeks ago, went to his home, saw all the grandkids, my grandkids that are his children. And
it wasn't a permanent fix, but it was a temporary
absolutely
solution.
Not, but it was something that needed to happen mm-hmm. at the time. Mm-hmm. And parents shouldn't feel bad about that, like oh my goodness, I failed the child. I wasn't able to do everything mm-hmm. for them. Because, again, my wife and I had a lot of training. I'm a therapist. She's a teacher, special needs kids, and we had a lot of background. But if we had trouble with it, then mm-hmm. other parents that didn't have the training necessarily that we did would certainly also. Mm-hmm. So the next thing I want to talk about is fostering dependence mm-hmm. of the child. And I know this sounds kind of strange because as kids grow older, we want them eventually to become more and more independent mm-hmm. From us. But for the kids that we're talking about that have had very chaotic backgrounds and chaotic lives, they have had to learn self-sufficiency skills early on in life that had to be forced on them because they were not able to be in a home that was able to provide it for them naturally. Mm-hmm. So what I'm talking about is having them learn dependency on you. Such little things like, hey, I've already got your soccer uniform washed and dried, and it's right here ready for you. Hey, you've got a school trip tomorrow. You probably need a little money. Here's $10, you mm-hmm. know.
Things to help with attachment. Things they need to attach to you.
Things that help with attachment, but things that also take the worry off of their little hearts and minds mm-hmm. and places the dependence on you. As a while. Now, there's always a time later on when they get, you know, later on in high school and things like that, that they can learn independent living skills and all of that. But early on, they need to know that mom and dad are going to be there for them in every situation, no matter what it is, mm-hmm. and that they can count on you because they have mm-hmm. not been able to count mm-hmm. on necessarily their biological parents. Mm-hmm. Because remember, again, these biological parents have been, parental rights mm-hmm. have been terminated by their respective states. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not an easy thing to do to terminate parental rights. Mm-hmm. There has to be an abundance of evidence to that.
Well, and even though they're older children by the calendar year, their emotional age might be younger. And that's
absolutely.
Something that, you know, a baby learns, my needs are taken care of. And you have to pass through that phase of my needs are taken care of before you can move on to independence. So you're kind of just a little bit delayed. Hey, if you guys are just now listening, my guest is Dave White, my father, a licensed mental health therapist. And we are talking today about what it means to adopt older children.
Well, I mentioned a little of this last time, but also food should never be used as a consequence for mm-hmm. any type of punishment. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to send you to bed without supper.
Kind of an old school punishment that was regularly used.
Old school punishment, yeah. But at this point, for the kids that we're talking about that are used to having to go to bed without supper because there's not enough food in the home mm-hmm. and there won't be enough food in the home tomorrow, all that does is reinforce that they're not loved, they're not cared for, mm-hmm. and they're not
the basic human needs,
and they're not in a safe place for them. Mm-hmm. So certainly they can be sent to bed
without
after supper.
Dessert, you can take dessert away, right?
maybe dessert. So it's along the same hands of that is embracing a lot of structure mm-hmm. in their lives, emotional structure. If the kids are going off to school, then it's always advisable to, hey, I love you, you know.
Like a routine.
It's a routine, exactly. The bedtime should always be structured. Mm-hmm. Times to go to bed should be structured. You have to have schoolwork done before you're able to have TV time, something like that. So there has to be an unreal amount of structure.
Because they've had nothing consistent in their life. If you think about
no structure,
you've been taken out of your home. You've probably gone to a couple foster places, foster homes, before you end up being adopted. So you haven't had anything that's the same.
Our older two boys had gone through several foster homes. I can't even begin to count how many. And again, they were only 7 and 8 when we got them, 8 and 9 when they were actually adopted. But they had multiple homes and all of that. So that was something that was difficult. Mm-hmm. And they need that incredible structure. There's also attachment issues. They're going to test you. Mm-hmm. They are going to test you in every which way possible.
We had one guest on that shared that she adopted an older teenager, and he punched her in the eye and gave her a black eye early on. And that's hard. That's hard to move past when you are physically hurting.
Absolutely. Fortunately, that never happened to us. Not sure how I would have handled that. But they certainly fought among themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, fortunately, again, they never did do anything to our younger biological children. And speaking to that, just real briefly, I would encourage generally for adoptive parents to have your biological children, if you're able to,
have first, them be older than the
have
age
them
of your
to be
foster.
Older than your adopted children. Mm-hmm. In our case, we didn't do that. Mm-hmm. Now we always felt like and knew in our hearts that we could have biological children, and we did. Mm-hmm. But they're our younger two, mm-hmm, rather than the older two. So, and because of that, they were able to witness, unfortunately, a lot of some of the chaos in our own home, mm-hmm, that we had in dealing with their older brothers. Mm-hmm. Now, we tried, and I think we did a pretty decent job of shielding them from, mm-hmm, from that a lot. We used to joke that we had the D&C method of child rearing, divide and conquer, where one of us would take the biological children, Kendra and her brother Jeremy, and the other would take the adoptive children and deal with whatever the pressing issue was at the time. And so we tried to shield you guys from a lot of the things that you may not have known.
Well, from a sibling's perspective, growing up, seeing that my parents were willing to adopt other children, it became part of my heart and my ministry as well. You know, so it was something that if you're concerned, oh, are our biological children going to lack? Are we going to have to, divide finances and resources between more people? Let me just say, you are demonstrating to your children that this is a calling and how important it is to follow God's mandate. And I got to see that and witness that growing up.
And certainly, even though we had a lot of behavioral issues with our older children, by no means did that mean that we did not have enough time, mm-hmm, or energy for the younger ones. Mm-hmm. And if anything, we tried harder to become more involved with them. We were soccer coaches and Bible quiz coaches, and we'd be sure they had every, mm-hmm, opportunity at all that they could want or needed at
Y'all
that
making
point.
Me tired just talking about it. There's a lot of things going on in that season of your life.
So attachment issues are a constant thing that you have to deal with. Along with that, you're going to hear, and I can almost promise you that you're going to hear this at some point, you're not my real dad. I don't have to do what you said. You're not my real mom. She would have done something different. They're talking about a great deal of hurt, mm-hmm, that they have in their hearts. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily upset with you, but you're the one that's there at the time, mm-hmm, that they can project those feelings onto.
And that, I'm sure, feels like a dagger when you have tried to step
Absolutely.
Up and be mom, be dad to them, but you have to recognize that the biological parent that they will always have a tie and a connection
Absolutely.
And a desire to know them and a desire to wish that parent had stepped up and had a loving role in their life.
So responses that I would say at that point can be something like, well, you're right. I am not your biological dad, but I am the dad right now who, mm-hmm, is trying to help you with this situation. Mm-hmm. You're right. I'm not the biological mom, but I am the mom that is loving you right now and is trying to help you again with whatever the situation is in front of you. Sometimes it's not even really necessary to go back and address the statement that the child made. You know, we've had situations where they said the boys have said things and then come back and apologize to us without us having to say anything. And it opens a real time to talk about their backgrounds and talk about why they're not in care. And again, it's important to let them know as much information as they can at the right age about why they were removed, because it's heartbreaking, as you said earlier, in any situation. So you have to change the filter that these kids have of looking at the world. They tend to look at a world as, this world is not going to treat me well. This world is going to abuse me. This world is going to, I'm always going to be in a chaotic situation where I'm going to be moving all the time. I'm never going to be able to be on a team, a sports team, because my biological parents or my parents will never be able to get me to the games on time or get me to the practices.
And their defenses are way up. They have a wall around their hearts.
They have a wall around their hearts, and they expect you to fail. They expect you to not be able to meet their needs. And so that's why it's really important to meet their needs. And along that line, also, it's really important to be completely honest with them and not make promises that you may or may not be able to keep. I want to go to this field trip next May. I hope we'll be able to do that. I'm going to try to everything I can to hopefully make that happen, but I can't necessarily promise you that. Let's keep working on it and we'll see. These kids have been let down so many times in their lives, over and over and over. They're expecting you to fail again, as their biological parents did. And so you have to be very careful when you make any promises that something like won't come up and they'll not be able to, because they're going to say to you, well, you were just another person that made another promise to me. And again, that's that worldview that they have from all the abuse and the neglect that they've experienced, where they expect those things to happen. And so you have to try to change that worldview. I like to talk about some of the biblical characters that did not grow up in their biological homes. You know, Moses was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. Esther's parents were killed at an early age, and her uncle raised her. Joseph's brothers threw him into slavery, and he missed a lot of his teenage years from his parents' homes. So a lot of those stories.
And yet God took these people on to do huge things for the kingdom of God.
They became great heroes of the Bible and great heroes of our faith. I like to also introduce kids to a loving God early on as much as possible, very early into the adoption process. If we can focus more on the relationship with their heavenly father as much or more than their past relationship with their biological parents, then they're going to turn out to have a different mindset and a different worldview than they necessarily would have otherwise.
Well, we are almost out of time, but I want to take a minute and ask you to pray for anybody who maybe is currently fostering or adopting older kids, and maybe the stress and all of the challenges are weighing on them.
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time, and we do just pray for those people out there that are thinking about adopting or fostering older children. I just pray, Jesus, that you are putting on their minds and their hearts the abilities and the overwhelming love that they will need to accomplish this. I pray blessings on their life. I pray blessings on their ministry. I pray that you're giving them the direction that they need to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. In your precious name we pray.
Yes. And Lord, we also pray for those that are already doing this and they are exhausted and at the end of the rope. And I just pray that they would not move and work in their own strength, but that you and your Holy Spirit would come in and refresh them and equip them for every challenge that they may face. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. There are so many kids that need families. The need is desperate. So thank you so much for sharing about this. Please consider this as an option. And thank you guys so much for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.